Mail call from the United States of America. Stand by, Americans. Here's Mail Call, one big package of words and music and laughter delivered to you by the stars from whom you ought to hear in answer to the request you send to Armed Forces Radio, Los Angeles, USA. With this Mail Call, we salute the valiant men of the United Nations who stormed the beaches of Normandy on D-Day. And here to act as your mistress of ceremonies is a girl who visited those men not so long ago, radio's lovely singing star, the GI's favorite girlfriend, Diana Shore.
Oh, give me land, lots of land under starry skies above. Don't fence me in. Let me ride through the wide open spaces that I love. Don't fence me in. Let me be by myself in the evening breeze. Listen to the murmur of the cottonwood trees. Send me off forever, but I ask you please. Don't fence me in, just turn me loose. Let me saddle my old saddle underneath the western sky. On my cayuse, let me wander over yonder till I see the mountain rise. I want to ride to the ridge where the west commences. Gaze at the moon till I lose my senses. Can't look at hobbles and I can't stand fences. Don't fence me in. Turn me loose, let me battle my old saddle underneath the western sky. On my cayuse, let me wander over yonder till I see the mountain rise. I want to ride to the ridge where the west commences. Gaze at the moon till I lose my senses. Can't look at hobbles and I can't stand fences. Don't fence me in. Don't fence me in.
Mail Call takes a little trip south of the border for our next guest. From Colombia, South America, we bring you the Sinatra of the Señoritas, Carlos Ramirez.
Thank you, Miss Shore. But I'm not really the Sinatra of the Señoritas.
Oh, aren't you?
Oh, no. You can tell from my bones. They got meat on them.
Well, my mistake, Carlos. I guess you are a little more on the Crosby side now that I look at you. Oh, what are you going to sing for us?
Cuando vuelva a tu lado.
Yeah, I don't know what that means, Carlos.
Well, in America, it's what a difference a day made. You see, the tune was originally written by Maria Griver, a young lady from my own neck of the woods.
Well, don't keep us waiting, Carlos.
All right.
Cuando vuelva a tu lado, no me niegues tus besos. El amor que te he dado no podrás olvidar. No me preguntes nada, que nada de explicarte. El beso que negaste ya no lo puedes dar. Cuando vuelva lado y esté solo contigo, la las cosas que te digo. No repitas jamás por compasión une tu labio al mío y estrechame en tus brazos y cuenta los latidos de nuestro corazón. Preguntes nada, que nada de explicarte, que el beso que negaste ya no lo puedes dar. Cuando vuelva a tu lado y esté solo contigo, las cosas que te digo no repitas jamás por compasión. Une tu labio al mío y estrechame en tus brazos y cuenta los latidos de nuestro corazón.
Oh, Carlos, that was mucho terrifico. I'm sorry, but we just can't let you go without an encore. How about it?
All right, Dinah. In answer to many requests, here's Rica Pulpa. Rica Pulpa de tamarindo. La traigo y este pulpero en su tablero para vender. Al salir, niña hermosa, a escuchar mi pregón, luces como una rosa, que las muchas que engalanan su balcón. Pulpa, rica pulpa, es mi pulpa más sabrosa que la miel. Con la pulpa de unos labios que curaron mis agravios. Con la pulpa soy mi casera, endulzando yo la Habana entera con el azúcar de mi pulpa. Rica pulpa, que es sabrosa como besos de mujer. Pulpa, rica pulpa. Ay, caserita, no me regañes, mi rica pulpa es para vender. Mi negra linda, mi caserita, mi rica pulpa es para vender. Cual la pulpa de unos labios que curaron mis agravios. Con la pulpa soy mi casera, endulzando yo la Habana entera con el azúcar de mi pulpa. Rica pulpa, es sabrosa como besos de mujer. Pulpa, rica pulpa, como besos de
that was grand, Carlos. Now to continue the mail call policy of using a change of pace, we've really got a curve to pitch at you. In fact, a delightful group of curves, all answering to the name of Virginia O'Brien.
Virginia Dinah, that Carlos Ramirez is kind of cute, isn't he?
Yes, he is, Virginia.
I like Latin American men. Of course, I like North American men, too. Well, come to think of it, I like men.
Well, I'm right with you on that, Virginia, and luckily, I think they're here to stay.
I hope so. No married couple should be without one.
Well, be that as it may, Virginia, I hear you have some singing to do, right?
Right, Dinah. And it's a tender little thing called Dude Ranch Serenade. You can have your symphony, just make mine a serenade, for a song that's bound to please when it's night in the cave. Crickets crickin' in the sun, rattlesnakes are rattlin', young lady on Lodo, that's the Dude Ranch Serenade. Under cactus plants at noon, beetles hum their little tunes, young lady on Lodo, that's the Dude Ranch Serenade. A prairie dog is all agog to howl right in my ear, but I don't care, 'cause I declare it's the music that along to hear. Coyotes yelping in the night, hoot owls hoot with all their might, young lady on Lodo, that's the Dude Ranch Serenade. The cottontail and desert quail are scooting round and round the brush, but gophers don't and polecats won't, yeah, because they're never in a rush. In the old corral at night, only skaters buzz and bite, your lady home, that's my Dude Ranch Serenade.
Thank you, Virginia. That was really wonderful. Now, gang, mail call for something that is really, really enlightening. Ladies and gentlemen, it's...
One moment, my good woman, one moment.
Glad you came in there.
I'd like a word with you, if I'm not too incredible.
Why, give it already! Did you say you wanted a word with me?
I believe I did say something out of effect before my ovation. You seem to share a problem of the most vexatious nature. I'm saying that in Latin. I don't expect the arisen to confront me.
You mean something's wrong?
Please, Miss Shaw, you use your English and I'll use mine. But be that what it might, I do have a problem, and I've come to you for help.
Why me?
Let's face it, Miss Shaw, you're much prettier than Mr. Anthony.
Well, I'll do what I can, Jimmy. What seems to be the trouble?
Well, I wish to engage the service of a private tutor.
A private tutor?
Yes. You know, one of them guys who takes an uneducated bum and teaches them how to talk like an educated bum.
Well, gee, I'm sorry, Jimmy, but I have no idea where I could find a man to tutor you.
Tutor me? My dear woman, are you imitating that I need a tutor? I, James Aranny, who has never made a grammatical error.
Never?
Never. Every error I make is ungrammatical.
Jimmy, if this private tutor isn't for you, who is he for?
I'll give you a hint, Miss Shaw. Do you happen to know the man who was the real power behind the scenes in London and Washington and in Moscow?
Why, Jimmy, You yes. don't mean...
Umbriado.
Well, Jimmy, if you'd really like to find a tutor, the best thing to do is put an ad in the paper.
I thought of that. I even wrote out the ad. They said wanted. Brilliant, intelligent, super-educated, cultured, and refined young man with a brain of an Einstein. And then I tore it up.
Tore it up? Why?
There's only one man in the country who fits that description. Why should I answer my own ad?
Well, I really wish I could help you, Jimmy, but I... Oh, wait a minute. There's someone here who might be just the man you're looking for.
Really?
Sure, he used to be a professor at Yale, and he's got all kinds of degrees.
Great. Call the professor over.
All right, I will. Oh, Marty, Marty Woolley.
Me voici, darling.
Marty, I'm so glad you're here tonight.
Merci, Dada, ma chérie. Vous êtes charmant, très distingué, très joli.
A fine tutor. This guy can't even talk English.
But, Jimmy, this is Mr. Woolley.
He certainly is. Get a load of that muck.
Mr. Durante, you're in no position to single out anyone's features for ridicule. Not with that skin periscope protruding from your alert.
Sticks and stones can break my bones, and what the heck are you talking about?
Miss Shaw, I am very pleased to visit you, but to what unfortunate circumstance do we owe the presence of Pinocchio here?
Well, Jimmy is in kind of a spot. A very good friend of his is badly in need of a little tutoring.
Yes, I'm at my wit's end.
Not a very long trip, was it?
Wait a minute. If it pleases you to make me the scapegoat of your jibes, jibe away.
Well, in that case, brace yourself.
I accept your apology. You see, my college you, or colleague, Umbriago and myself attend many social functions together, having access as we do to all the better homes.
Access?
Yes. Skeleton key. I regret to say that many times Umbriago is the cause of great embarrassment to me. Nay, humiliation. Do you follow me?
I am a dog with boredom.
Good. Then I'll continue. It was at that mad gay evening at Lady Mendel's. Umbriago was dancing with mine hostess, and right in the middle of a dreamy waltz, he hit the corsage pinned to her shoulder.
He ate her corsage.
It wouldn't have been so bad, Mr. Woolley, but that's what held up her evening gown.
It's an admirable trait you're wanting to assist your friend, but I'm afraid it's a clear case of speak for yourself, Charles.
Why, Priscilla, what a long beard you have.
Jimmy, what I mean is that you could use a little tutoring yourself. Your education seems to have been sadly neglected.
Ah, contraire, 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 monsieur. I hope I haven't said anything off color. You know, it's a matter of record that I went to Ohio normal.
Well, when you came to California, you weren't. My dear fellow, in spite of yourself, I shall endeavor to help you.
Decent of you.
Your acting career has been irreparably damaged because of the slapstick roles you portray.
Marty, I agree. For years, I've played the clown. But do you know what lies beneath this comic exterior?
A ridiculous interior.
He knows me.
Tonight, I'm going to give you a chance. I have with me a copy of Rostand's Cyrano de Bergerac. It's from the French, you know.
Let's wait until after the show and look at the pictures together.
James, this is a great part for you. You play the role of Cyrano, a man with a prominent proboscis.
I'll make up if I have to.
You won't have
to. Do I have a big part?
Well, you're the max motivating character in the play. Now take this scene, Prince. Cyrano meets the Duke of Valverde. And they get into an argument about the size of Cyrano's nose. This is a big scene where you really get a chance to act.
Good. Let's go.
Very well. Here's the part now. Correct. You're Cyrano, and I am Valverde.
You said, sir. You said, sir, my nose is large.
Yes. But I could say the same thing in a thousand different ways, varying the tone. For instance, if I were aggressive, I would say, sir, if I had such a nose, nothing must serve, but I must cut it off.
But, Velvet...
If I were amicable, I should say, it must be in your way while drinking. You ought to have a special beaker made.
But, Velvet...
Descriptive? It is a crank, a peak, a promontory. A promontory, I'd say, it is a peninsula.
But, Velvet...
If I was inquisitive, I would ask, what may be the use of that oblong receptacle? Is it an inkhorn or a scissor case?
But, Velvet... This is a great pot I got.
Do you so dote on birds?
But, Velvet...
You have, as a fond as a father, been at pains to fit the little darlings with a roost.
But, Velvet...
If I were blunt, I would say, tell me, when you smoke, is it possible you blow the vapor through your nose without a neighbor crying the chimneys afire? You call that a nose? You don't fool me. It's either a prize carrot or else a stunted pumpkin.
I may get the Academy Award for this part. Velvet!
You were splendid, James, and in parting I used the words of the immortal bard. Good night. Good night. Parting is such sweet sorrow that I could say good night till it be morrow.
You certainly could. Good night, Velvet. Now I'm going to brush off the culture and get back to the real me. You know, the bun. Throw another log in the fire, boys, while I am tale of tales. Let me hear that band. You know, I've been all over this continent. I've been from coast to coast. I've even been up as far as Quebec, Mass. I've fought my way up the Nile to the very top floor. And I've even tracked the polecat to its hole. You know, I've had the yellow jack, and I've been shot full of holes. I've even grabbed an army mule plucked by the plumper. But I've never been so rip-sawed. I pollute mad as the night I was reclining my Louis XIV derriere. It all started when the telephone tinkled. Picking up the receiver, I said, oui, you see, it was a French phone. The Secretary of State was calling. He said, Jimmy, we need you for an important mission. Do you know anything about foreign relations? I said, foreign relations? Well, you're talking to a guy who's got 15 relatives living in Brooklyn. How preposterous. So I says to him, Set, I addresses him in the subjunctive. My regrets, but I never can voice business over the phone. I'll see you tomorrow in D.C. at P.M. sharp. So that evening, at cocktail time, I gets aboard the Congressional Limited. The train was jammed, so what happened? I had to share my upper berth with a guy named Joe. It was too crowded up there for both of us to get undressed at the same time. So, I comes down, Joe stays up, he takes off his coat. Then Joe comes down, I goes up, I takes off my shoes. I comes down, Joe goes up, he takes off his shirt. Joe comes down, I goes up, I takes off my pants. I comes down, Joe goes up, he puts on his pajamas. Joe comes down, I goes up, I puts on my pajamas. Now we're ready to lie down and go to sleep. And what happens? It's morning. We've got to start all over again. So, I comes down, Joe stays up, he takes off his pajamas. Joe comes down, I goes up, I takes off my pajamas. I comes down, Joe goes up, he puts on my pants. Joe comes down, I goes up, I puts on his shirt. I comes down, Joe goes up, he puts on my shoes. Joe comes down, I goes up, I puts on his coat. Now I don't know whether I'm Joe or Joe is me. It's a case of double indemnity. He gets off at my station, I gets off at his station. His wife runs over to me, throws her arms around my neck, gives me a kiss and says, congratulations, Joe. You're the father of a 9-pound baby boy. What a dilemma. But what could I do about it? Nothing. So I went to Hoboken to forget. And then I went to Hackensack to forget Hoboken. That's my story, boys. So throw another log on the fire. What? No more logs? Good night, boys. Good night.
Thank you, Jimmy. You're strictly wonderful. Well, fellas, if you're in the market for a ballad, comes now one of the loveliest of the season. I Dream of You. If you please, Sergeant. I'd like to deliver just one personal message before they pull down this connection between here and wherever you're listening. A few months ago, when I was jeeping around the far shore in the ETO, I met a lot of swell audiences and shook a lot of swell hands. And by the way, guys, I've delivered practically all of your messages that you asked me to take home. But I remember one audience in particular our pasteurized unit played to. They were from the 29th Division. There were a lot of GIs sitting way back in the audience. I noticed them just as I was hitting the last eight bars of I'll Be Seeing You. I didn't get to meet them, so I don't know their names. They didn't look like any movie heroes in their battle dress, and they could have done with a shave. But I like their smiles, and they seem to be pretty swell Joes. If you happen to be one of those guys, I'd like to say that I wish we'd had a chance to meet. Maybe we will someday. Just don't forget that there's a gal back here who's wishing you smoother sailing. A gal named Dinah.
Well, that about does it, fellas. This mail call letter closes with signatures from Dinah Shore, Jimmy Durante, Marty Woolley, Carlos Ramirez, Virginia O'Brien, the Armed Forces Radio Service Orchestra, and yours truly, Wendell Niles. This program was arranged with the cooperation of the Hollywood Victory Committee. Another mail call will be coming your way the next time you hear... This is the Armed Forces Radio Service. ¶¶